So how does Roger Tulsas apply his expertise in electronics and technology to medicine? We'll talk about that with him when we come right back. Okay, welcome back. Roger Tulsas with us. Roger, I want to talk with you about your expertise in electronics and technology as it relates to medicine. But tell me this story about your wife, if you want to.
Yeah, I wanted to share this with you because it's been an extraordinary journey. And what happened was, is about a year ago, my wife found out that she had breast cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
And so she is a Native American, and she really doesn't want to get involved with this, what they call standard of care protocol. So after they had done this biopsy and we went in to see this surgeon, the surgeon's sitting on one of these rolling chairs, and he rolls over to her, and he kind of takes her by the hand, and he says, well, you know, there's no easy way to tell me to tell you this, but you do have breast cancer, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you surgery, and we're going to give you chemotherapy, and we're going to give you radiation. And she looks at him, she says, no, we're not. And his face went blank, and he let go of her hand, and he rolled back on his little rolling chair across the room, kind of shocked by the fact that somebody didn't want to go through these standards of care that the cancer industry has set up. So the interesting part about this is it set us off on a new journey. And by the way, to get some idea of the cost of these things, when they offer to give a woman 6 weeks of radiation for breast cancer, the cost involved with that was $31,000.
Oh. And if you're not insured, you're up the creek.
Well, the problem is that, for 80 years, they have been doing this standard of care since the drug companies really took over running the medical business in America. And statistically, their numbers are not that good for healing people. They tend to treat the symptoms, and really what you want to do is you want to get to what's the cause of the body doing these
doing
kind of abnormal growth.
That's right.
So anyway, to make a long story short, one of the things that I decided to do, because I have 50 years in electronics, was look into the work of Royal Rife, George Lakovsky, and Tesla relating to electromedicine. And I don't know whether you know too much about
it. I know about Royal, and I know about Tesla. Lakovsky, I'm not very familiar with.
Okay. Well, anyway, the first thing that I did to get myself oriented is I went on Amazon and I bought all the books that deal with vibrational medicine, books like Robert Becker's The Body Electric, Gerber's Vibrational Medicine, Energy Medicine, Healing is Voltage by Dr. Tennant that we talked about, the complete book of energy medicines, Decoding the Human Body Field, and then what I did, and several excellent books on Rife's life. And inside the Rife books was a lot of his original notes about what he did to treat the people. Now, for people that don't know who Royal Rife was, is he was a researcher and an engineer that had worked in Germany for Zeiss making optics. And when he came back to California, he decided that he would make a microscope that was going to be the most powerful microscope. And he actually did. It was called the Universal Microscope. It has 50,000 parts. And if you go on the internet and have a look at the picture of it, it's a marvelous engineering device. It's just amazing that somebody could put something together that sophisticated and be almost kind of a one-man band. So what he did with that is he got this microscope, which the microscopes at the time, I think they had around 15,000 power. This microscope had over 30,000 power. And this gave him the ability for the first time to see viruses and bacteria living under this wonderful new machine that he made. Then what he decided to do was to experiment and culture on all these diseases like cancer. So he was growing different kinds of bacteria that he felt were the causes of these cancer. And of course, he did further experiments where he was able to move these bacteria over to mice, give mice things like he would take human breast cancer, grow bacteria around that, and then give that to mice and get them to grow a breast cancer and then bring that back again to prove that there was a pathogen that was involved with it. But where it really gets interesting is he decided to go get radio equipment, and we're talking about back in the 1920s, and he went to and there was only AM band radio equipment back in those days.
Right, right.
So he went to the Kennedy company, which was a radio equipment company, had them supply him with radio transmitters, and he used what's known as plasma tubes. He would take the radio transmitter, hook it onto a plasma tube, which is kind of a glass antenna, and then he meticulously, for hours and hours, attempted to figure out what frequencies he could radiate these cultures to cause them to be destroyed. And what they call it the MOR, the mortality oscillatory rate. In other words, where it's almost like an opera singer singing a certain pitch that breaks the glass. Same kind of phenomenon. And he was successful in doing that. And he figured out frequencies. I'm looking at some of his original notes. He actually had, he worked on cancer virus, typhoid, staphylococcus, different kinds of E. coli, B. coli, streptococcus, anthrax. You know, he took some of the things that were the plagues of the time, and he decided to go ahead and radiate these cultures, and he ended up destroying them.
At what point, Roger, did the government start coming down on him? You know, chasing the marketers of his devices, trying to putting people in jail.
Yeah.
And even the American Cancer Society took off on this. Obviously.
Well, the AMA was just forming at the time, and Rife ended up, after he had the clinical success where he eventually started using it on people, and he took individuals that were stage four people that were terminal, and he ended up using the machine and bringing them back to health. And at that point, he formed a company called the Beamray, and they manufactured a bunch of these machines, and these machines then went out and started to heal people. But the drug companies really wanted to get the foothold, and the AMA also was kind of on the drug company side, because if you can't patent the process, you can't make money on it. So as soon as he managed to get himself established successfully with this thing, the AMA and what would become the FDA came down on him to stop them from having successful usage of electromagnetics where there really wasn't the profit in it. It's kind of similar to the oil companies.
Well, and they came in with a volley too. I mean, listen to just some of the things that they've done to Rife and the people associated with him. These are their allegations, of course, but the marketers of the device convicted of felony health fraud. The sentencing judge said that they were targeting vulnerable people. The American Cancer Society went after Rife Machine, saying that they're sold like pyramid schemes, so let's get them. They were sued, and then in court, one guy was convicted of 26 counts for selling the devices. And then in Australia, they ganged up on him and said that the machines were blamed for the deaths of cancer patients who should have been cured with radiation and chemo. So
right.
whenever, and I'm not saying the machines work or not, I've never used them, but whenever there's a possibility that something could be used successfully beyond pharmaceutical drugs or things like that, they come down on these people, and they come down on them viciously.
They do. Well, it's a cartel, you know. However, here's the interesting part, is that his information and his machines, although the government smashed them, in other words, when they did confiscate these machines, they smashed them. There is a Rife historian named Jeff Garf, who's up in the Utah area, who actually was able to get a hold of Rife's original notes and also several of his machines and reverse engineer them. Very interesting individual. He's probably one of the chief historians on Rife's life. And I made contact with him early on because I wanted his assistance in terms of using what he knew about to treat my wife, which is what we did do.
And what was the outcome?
Well, the outcome is that she hasn't had a reoccurrence.
Oh, that's great.
However, I contacted Jeff and asked him whether he would be interested in being a guest on the Coast to Coast and providing you with his detailed history of Rife's life. He's probably the foremost authority, and he said he would do that. So hopefully you'll have him on sometime.
You know, there's got to be, Roger, out there. I mean, on one hand, I think the FDA and government should be responsible for helping the public from unscrupulous people who are out there, people who would sell lousy supplements, for example, and things like that, and lousy pharmaceuticals. They should be doing a better job at that. They're not. But they should be setting up an independent testing procedure. Somebody should be testing these Rife machines and other things and coming up independently saying, my God, they work, or they don't, without government trying to immediately say, no, 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 you're going to jail, you can't sell these, without any proper testing. How come they don't do that?
Well, the problem is that if you're setting up testing that's going to meet the government standards, you're going to have millions and millions and millions of dollars for that kind of research. The interesting thing about the whole Rife community, because what I did is I went around the country and I met with about five of the major people that are manufacturing these things. And they don't say that they're for Rife technology per se. They say more like that they're generators to be used for wellness. The term wellness, the FDA has said, well,
I guess you can't make a claim that it cures something, right?
You can't make the claim. But at any rate, to make a long story short, I went around the country over the past year and tried every one of these machines on myself. And it's been a very interesting experience in the sense that they really do work. The thing about Rife machines in particular is there are specific frequencies that are supposed to kill specific things that are pathogens that are wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the average healthy human being has almost 2 pounds of living microbes in their body that are not offensive to the body. In some cases, they actually are helping us with digestion and other things like that. But when you get to a point where you have chronic illness and you can define the kind of illness, if you end up taking chemicals to solve the problem, you get all those side effects. Where if you try to do it electromagnetically and you use some of these technologies, you can be selective about getting those specific microbes and things that are causing your illness to pass out of your body, as long as you do it in a slow process. Because you know, I've had some machines that I tried that were so powerful that after about an hour of being around one of these machines, you ended up being hammered. You know, you literally, your kidneys ached and all your excretory systems were saying, I'm overloaded. But the interesting part is that there's some very brilliant people that are working on these things. Now, some of these machines are Rife types where they actually use frequencies to attempt to heal particular pathogens that are causing the illness. And then there's a whole other kind of machine that is what this George Lakovsky invented, who was this Russian. And his view of these machines was that the nucleus of a living cell may be compared to an electrical oscillating circuit. And this nucleus consists of tubular filaments and chromosomes made of insulating material and filled with conducting fluid. And so these filaments constitute minute oscillating circuits. So he felt that our cells, as does Tennant, are actually small oscillators. The cells themselves are a living energy.
Whatever happened to his device? Or, I mean, was he ever convicted of anything? Did they chase him down too?
No, what happened was is he managed to, he did most of his work in Europe, so he wasn't interfered with. However, he did take his devices over into New York, and he did work in some of the hospitals in New York, and he did start healing people over there. And his patent, he's got a rather interesting patent that you can look up. It's patent 1,962,565, if someone wants to look it up. And you can see basically what he did is he took Tesla circuits. He took a tuned spark gap circuit, and then took the that's the primary side, and that's a it's an oscillator that forms not only one frequency, but it also has multiple waves. And he has a special antenna, and that broadcasts this energy. And when somebody sits near it, what it does is it resonates all your body cellular structure and lifts your cells into more healthy conditions, kind of what Dr. Tennant was talking about.
And that was an old technology, 1929, 1930 technology. What would happen today with all the great little circuits that we've got available to us?
Well, that's what's happened. It actually has evolutionized itself. There was two manufacturers that I got involved with. One is called Quantum Pulse, and they had a machine called the Vibe machine. And that, it's interesting, they took Lukovsky circuits, which are basically this Tesla system, and they added to it a carousel of plasma tubes that have different types of noble gases, sometimes 13 different tubes. So when the Tesla machine powers up and it puts out almost 750,000 volts, that energy then lights the tubes. And the tubes then start emitting light energy. So when you're being exposed to this machine, you have both magnetic field energy and light energy coming at you. And that particular machine you use for about 3 minutes, and it will take your energy and lift it up. It will also heal difficulties that you have if you have imbalances, because most of the time disease is an imbalance or an energy blockage.
Do you think they'd ever do an experiment with or a study with 20 people, 10 of them who would take chemo? They're all cancer victims. And 10 of them would do chemo and radiation, and the other 10 would do these machines. I guess that, with the possibility that they could die either way, but it would be an interesting study, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be an interesting study, but you know something, and they're never going to allow it, while we're in the environment. However, there's a breakthrough, and I want to tell you about this. This is kind of interesting, because now we've had 80 years. We had Royal Rife back in 1930 actually healing cancer. And then because of the people that wanted to keep their cartel and keep their monopoly, they destroyed him. They destroyed his labs. They attempted to destroy his notes and his machines. However, some did survive. And once again, Jeff can tell you about that when he does the show with you. But at any rate, here we are 80 years later. And finally, here is the news release that came up. It says FDA clears first of a kind device for brain cancer. It says device maker NovaCure said Friday that the Food and Drug Administration has approved its first of a kind treatment that fights cancerous brain tumors using electrical energy.
How about that? Something we've known for a long, long time. Roger, stay with us. We're going to take phone calls starting when we come right back after this break on Coast to Coast AM. Roger's website, bugsweeps.com. Bugsweeps.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com for you right now. Also, if you would continue to take the study, our little survey there at coasttocoastam.com, our Insta poll asking you questions about this E. coli situation in Germany. I'd like to see those final results in another hour or so. I'll be back in a moment with your calls now on Roger Tulsis on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, by the way, PMH Atwater talks with us for a few hours about incredible work on the other side, followed by Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM, and the program will originate from the Cave in St. Louis as I get ready for my early morning Chicago trip on Saturday. By the way, Amazon.com is taking pre-orders of Rosemary Ellen Guiley and my book called Talking to the Dead, so if you want to pick it up with a substantial discount, they are taking pre-orders when you go to Amazon.com. The book is called Talking to the Dead. We'll be back. Well, Roger, I'm glad your wife is doing much better. That is great news.
Well, it's given me an opportunity to see the future. Like I said, I visited about five different individuals that are the leading edge developers of this technology. And I can see that in the future, it's going to be machines that will do an analysis of kind of like the plug-in that we have in our automobiles, where you plug in the computer and it
tells you everything.
It diagnoses anything that's wrong at the time, and then what they'll do is they'll plug you into one of these machines here, and they will not only solve your infirmities, but they're going to keep you from aging.
That'll be done with a drop of blood, I bet.
Yeah. Well, it probably could be done that well, but even now there are machines that I saw that they hook up to you, and the machines run through different frequencies, and they look for resonances of those frequencies that your body says, yeah, that's something that I'm going to vibrate with. And because that causes the generators to pull more current, so to speak, they know that there is something attached to that particular frequency that is an infirmity. One of the things, the most fantastic machine I saw was a machine that actually you put your finger in the machine, and it took your Carillion image. In other words,
your aura.
Like, yeah. You know, it took your aura. It's kind of like a fingerprint reader where you put your finger in it. Each one of your fingers, one after another, it's called, the name of the company is called Kirilonics. It's Kirilonics. And technologies, they're from Russia. So you put your fingers in, and it does scans, does the Carillion scans. You see the aura around each finger, and then it goes through the programming processes that give diagrams of your bioenergy, several different graphs. It also gives chakra diagrams to show if your chakras are in alignment, and it gives you statistical charts and giving the numerology of the readings, so that you know your energy levels. Now, the really remarkable thing that we did with this is that we did, I did several tests in several different states with this machine. This machine is about a $16,000 machine. And then we subjected ourselves to the Kupski kind of multi-wave oscillators, where you stand by these machines that do these emissions. Your normal timeline is about 3 minutes in front of these machines. And then we went back and re-shot our Carillion fingers and asked the machine to make a new interpretation, and you could actually see in the results that our whole body energy had been lifted.
That's fantastic. Let's take some calls here, Raj. Let's go to Lancaster, California, first of all. Hey, Ray, good morning.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, guys?
Good. We're fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you think you see coli in Gerber? You see that's a conspiracy? That's one question. And then I want to know this. You know, it seems to me like the dollar started really going down and when the euro appeared. Am I wrong on that? Or because it seems like the euro's been kicking the dollar ever since. And the dollar can't recuperate against the euro. So that's what I wanted to ask.
Okay, well, I'll let you answer that one, and we'll both talk about the E. coli situation, Roger. Go ahead on
okay,
the dollar.
Well, the euro is in just as bad shape as the dollar is. Basically, if you look at the indebtedness of the of those countries as well, they're almost in the same ratio of debt to their GDP. So everybody's hammered. You know, you do get those fluctuations up and down, but the overall thing, when you look at the U.S. dollar, it is the index is based on a basket of currencies that it's put in ratio with. So we're all kind of in the same fix, the same boat. If you bar yourself to oblivion, then paying the piper, you know, you just cannot bar yourself into affluence.
No, not at all. The E. coli, it's weird. The whole thing is bizarre. We don't know for sure if it was concocted or not, but it's just a bizarre story, isn't it, Roger?
Well, it is.
Next up.
I don't really have much more to add because I don't know as much about that. Though I rely on Mike Adams, Natural News, for a lot of that information. I think he's pretty sharp.
Let's go to Tom in Orange, Connecticut, east of the Rockies. Hi, Tom.
How you doing, fellas? A couple things I wanted to talk about. The Federal Reserve has kept money in New York City in vaults underneath the ground there for years. Trade centers collapsed. The first thing they want to do is get the gold out. After that, they collected the people and so on and so forth. I used to fly canceled checks for the Federal Reserve. That's why I know about these things, because we flew out of Teterboro to all over the country with canceled checks, but they don't do that anymore. The other thing is they used to fly Cougarans, gold to Ottawa, Canada, where they'd make Cougarans out of them and back to the United States. You know, that's one issue. The other thing is, you know, all these cell phones are so darn cheap. You know, I got to thinking about mind control. Maybe these cell phones are programmed already so that, you know, if they have so much data on everybody and they know your telephone number and who they're talking to, they can just say subliminal, you're supposed to die right now, and all of a sudden you die, you know? And one more issue, I'm still a whistleblower, and I get threatened by the federal government. If I say any more about it, they'll throw me in jail. So that was for the hangars that were left open. I think I talked to you about that. And they said, forget about it. You lost the court case, so that's it. You know, I'll listen on the phone here.
Well, definitely be careful about that. No doubt about that, being a whistleblower. Roger, as you look at all this kind of technology, surveillance and otherwise, and you said they're slowing down now on making new things?
Well, I think they've arrived at the point where, first of all, we now have arrived at the point where we're under total surveillance. I also noticed that what they've done here, you notice how there's now checkpoints every weekend in almost every city?
Everywhere, all over the place.
Okay, well, the whole idea of the checkpoint thing was not so much that they want to...
Looking for drunks.
By drunk drivers. They want to get you to the point where you're used to checkpoints. In other words, checkpoints are going to be an everyday thing. And you're not going to think too much of it. It's kind of like the TSA thing where they're trying to get you to...
Get you accustomed to it. Get you familiar with it.
All right. So that then the next thing you know, the checkpoints are going to be start. Well, we need to go through your car to see what you got in the car. Or otherwise, you're going to go to the side, and we're going to harass you and put you through the whole nine yards.
What are they going to be looking for?
They're going to be looking for, well, as an example, down south, they've been looking for money. Have you seen some of the videos about how they're pulling the police down there fighting each other about pulling over suspected automobiles because of the cash seizures for the funds that are going back towards Mexico?
That's what they're looking for.
Well, in that particular case, they're looking to, because any cash that they can score going down there
they
goes
keep.
To their own pocket.
Yeah, they keep. Indeed, they keep. But is it that illegal cash going across the border?
They're taking anybody's cash that they can find for any reason. And the whole thing with these seizures is you're supposed to go to the court and prove that you had the rightful use to have that cash on hand. That's the interesting part about it. The cash that you've got in your pocket, these Federal Reserve notes, they don't belong to you. They belong to the Federal Reserve.
That's right.
You only have equitable use while in your possession, and that's only based on a lawful possession. If you don't, in other words, if you go driving down the street and you have $15,000 cash sitting on your front seat and an officer pulls you over, he's going to take it. He's going to give it to the Federal Reserve.
He's going to take it unless you're leaving Vegas.
And that's it. So here's the thing. We don't own our own assets in that manner. They belong to the Federal Reserve.
And then you got to prove that it's legitimately yours.
That's right. But it never really is yours because you're an equitable lien holder. It's almost like if you own a property in America today, you don't really own it. You're the lien holder on it. The state that it resides is the actual owner. This was done back in 1913 when the Federal Reserve came in. They basically declared that all the property belongs to the state. And if you don't think that's the case, don't pay your taxes, and you'll find out by definition that when you own something, it can never be taken away from you.
Let's go to Huntington Beach. Hi, Eric, you're on with Roger Tulsis. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, hi, George. Hi, Roger. First of all, I just want to thank Jesus for the work that you guys do and others like Steve Quayle and everybody else out there. I just wanted to tell you guys that and blessings on you too for the work that you do. I know it's difficult at times and stressful, but I have been under so much directed energy harassment. It's terrible what they've been doing to me, and they do it to control me, to control my sleep. I've gone crazy a few times. I separated from, we were moving from our place in Lake Hughes, and I separated from my wife. I went over it with a brother that I was separated, and then they just wouldn't let me sleep for a few days, and then I ended up going on somebody's property, and I got arrested, and I went to jail, and I was running from them because I was so paranoid, the mind control, everything that they were just oppressing me with. And you know, now thank the Lord, I'm starting to understand it a little bit more, and he shows me how to fight against it. But it's really tiring, and you know, sometimes I don't even sleep. It depends whenever they want to really mess with me, I can go days without sleeping. It's not natural, and I've juxtaposed it. I mean, I've had times where I was covered and I was sleeping fine and everything like that, and waking up with a little drowsiness and everything. But when they want to just control my sleep, then I don't wake up. I wake up when they want me to wake up, and it's just terrible. I know it sounds unbelievable, but it's happening, and it's happening to me.
Okay, well, we have test protocols, the whole 5-day test protocol that we put people like yourself through to find out what the cause is. In other words, we put you not only through using these spectrum testing systems to find out what kind of energy is present at the times that you have the attack, but we also put you inside these electromagnetic shielding systems to see what will block the problem. So that's basically a 5-day test protocol. We need people for 5 straight days, and then they come
to you, Roger, or you go to them?
Well, it depends on whether the problem follows them. If the people tell me that no matter where I go, I get the problem, then they can come to us, and that makes it easier because we have, you know, our own laboratory. We do this stuff. However, if the situation is where it only happens when I'm in my home location, as an example, then we have to go to them and put the equipment there.
What do you generally find with people who go through something that someone like Eric has gone through?
Well, it's interesting. Sometimes it's very oddball. Like, as an example, I went back last year to Cape Cod because I had some people there that were suffering all kinds of brain interference problems. And so we set up our equipment and we staked it out. And sure enough, we found out that there was a military radar system that was just facing the Atlantic Ocean looking for missiles from the Soviet Union. It's called the PAVPAWS, PAVEPAWS. And it's this radar system that looks for missiles coming in from the East Coast side of America. But yet the overspill, and this thing is about, I think it was several million watts of power. In other words, that was shooting radar pulses out to go, you know, for thousands of miles right off the side of the planet looking for anything over the horizon. But yet the overspill was radiating this whole community down there, a very wealthy community. And as soon as we got there, we were starting to get the same symptoms as the client. This pulsing, buzzing, ringing, constant kind of, you know, of course, the longer you're subjected to that kind of stuff, the worse it gets for you. But these people couldn't sleep either. And that ended up being the cause. In those situations, we can't fix it because the government's not about to turn these kind of 1 million watt radars. But the amazing part is that the people were kind of unaware that this military installation is sitting right up on the mountain, right over their communities.
Do you find when you test an individual, the entire family's affected or just that one person?
If it's a person that's being affected by the bio-coded attacks, then it's just that one person. But if you get a situation where it's an actual environmental situation like this radar system, there was a lot of people in this general area that were suffering. They didn't know why.
All right, next up we go to Jeff in Culver City, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Jeff. Thanks.
Hi, George and Mr. Tulsa. How you guys doing?
Good, Jeff.
I have two quick questions. First, what was the real reason why analog television signals were changed to digital? And two, since many people are already wired into the Internet and have other electronic gadgets, how will others be monitored who don't use or refuse to use any of that? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks.
Well, the digital, of course, is supposed to give you a better television picture. So that was the initial reason. Was there anything sinister there, Roger?
And also give them better bandwidth. They can put more stuff in a smaller area, so now they can put multiple channels. But the problem with digital things, like as an example, I don't use Wi-Fi in my home.
Okay.
Because Wi-Fi is a definite wave pattern that interferes with brain operation. So I would suggest anybody that's got some of these problems where they can't sleep, they've got buzzing and ringing in their heads, they don't feel well, you got to get rid of the Wi-Fi. And the problem is, if you're living in an apartment, all your neighbors have Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi is one of those pulsed waveforms that just plain interferes with the brain.
When some people
When
some people wake up and they just don't feel good, but they don't know why, are things happening to them? Were they food poisoned the night before? What happened?
Well, from an electromagnetic standpoint?
They don't know. They just don't feel good.
Well, the point is, if you don't feel good on an ongoing basis, you really need to look at your environment.
You would think, especially if all your tests come out, your blood tests and things all come out negative, then there's something else bombarding you.
Yeah, well, in a lot of cases, your blood tests say that your immune system is and your white blood cell count is up because your body's fighting something, and what it's fighting is electromagnetic interference. You might recall Dr. Sam Milham came on there with you, who's an associate of mine, and he talked about that dirty electricity with all the crud that's coming up through the power.
Yep, absolutely, with some great pointers there, too. Cornelius in Louisiana. Hi, Cornelius.
Hi, George. Hi, Roger. God bless both y'all and Tommy, your call screener. I want to thank Coast to Coast and you for praying for my mom. She's got that blood cancer, and she's doing better. So I thank all of y'all for that. I wish I could get a hold of some of your electronic stuff, Mr. Roger. I'd like to see if that would work. But like I was telling Tommy, I'm one of these guys, I don't have enough money to buy gold or silver or anything like that. So I'm going to take my answer off the air. What do simple Americans do, just simple people that don't, won't be able to barter anything, won't be able to, they work hard and everything, but they won't have, nothing to deal with. So I'll take my answer off there. God bless both of y'all and Coast to Coast.
And I think, Raj, that, they fall into that category of there's not much they can do. What do you think?
I think that they need to join into communities. I mean, one of the things about the tribal, we've gotten so far away from tribal living, but tribal living really it was the way human beings lived for millions of years, where they actually depended on one another as a group.
Well, that's true. Roger, we got a final hour to go. Phone calls, you want to take them?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we will do it in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Roger Tulsis, our guest. His website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com.